Christ suffered in the flesh. So you're saying if we suffer in the flesh, then we won't sin anymore? I mean, he did this, so we follow his pattern? Wow, you think, I think probably I read a missionary biography where they were mistreated and maybe 2 years later they did something they regretted. So what's he talking about there? Once you're tried by fire, then somehow you don't sin anymore? Well, it's a general position that once you've put it on the line, once it's not just a mere profession that maybe even gets you business advantages or catches the eye of a girl that you want to court or something like that, or it just makes you feel good, but once you've been tried in the fire, suffered in the flesh, then we're going to have a kind of weeding out to see who's serious about this thing. I saw this plant in our house the other day when I was reading. I asked my wife if this was real, and she said, no, it's not, but it looks pretty real, doesn't it? And a person can say, oh, I believe in Jesus, and they can go to church, and they can be, you know, reliable and clean-cut and so forth and so on. But, you know, there's a difference between someone who is really a Christian and one who is playing at being a Christian. And one way to see if this is real is to just put it out in the yard for a while. And the rains will come, and the troubles will come, and the persecutions or what have you. And this is not going to do so well after a while. But if you're a real, I don't know, what is this? Huh? Flowers. Thank you. No, she knew better. Thank God. I thought it was a puppy. That's good. Thank you. That's good. We'll say a flower. I'm deaf here. Okay. If you leave this out there, after several rainstorms and ice storms or whatever, this is not going to look real good. Now, I know it can hurt regular flowers, but they kind of bounce back, and they grow. And there's some life there. There's a different feel. And so he says, in a sense, once you've been out in the trials, once you've been in the rain, we're going to learn more about whether that profession of faith was the real deal. And I found these books as I was coming upstairs. I've got a lot of books in my basement. This is called Signing Their Lives Away, The Fame and Misfortune of Men Who Signed the Declaration of Independence, and Signing Their Rights Away. And it's another kind of book like that. And what they're saying is once these guys signed the Declaration of Independence before the fighting was over, they knew that was either their death sentence or that they were part of something wonderful. And so when you basically commit in the real Christian way and face the fire, we can find out who's serious. We can find out who was in just at a superficial level and who's going to cut and run. And so he says, once you have this trial, once you've suffered in the flesh, once they've slugged you around, once they've fired you, once they've done these things, then we're going to see who's hanging with the stuff. And there's going to be a different kind of life. You're not going to be perfect, but you're not going to sin in the same way. And by the way, when you do sin, you're not going to enjoy it. You know that song, Every Day with Jesus is Sweeter Than the Day Before? Have you ever sung that? I have to say, I had one or two days with Jesus that weren't quite as sweet as the previous day, because I might have slipped into some sin, and then I felt my spirit just tormented, and I felt the discipline of God on me, and a grief, and an emptiness, and so forth. So once you sign on with Jesus, it ain't all, you know, promise you a rose garden. It's going to be clutch on your heart and your spirit when you sin. And you're going to perhaps lose some people and the like, lose some friends. And yet, at the deepest, deepest level, it is sweeter than the day before. Because before, perhaps, you were easy breezy about sin. Today, no, you're not. That's a better day, even though you don't count it sweet at the time. So he goes on to say, there's been enough time spent in doing what the pagans choose to do. He says, okay, folks, been there, done that. That's all you need. It's not like, hey, take a break, do Christian things, and then we can go back and do some slumming, kind of living like the devil, because that's kind of fun. We all know that. But, you know, we can kind of let our hair down now and then. But right now, let's do some Christian stuff. He says, no. You don't need to do that stuff anymore. It's a wrap, okay? He's not saying, by the way, if you haven't done it yet, you go ahead and do your thing. So then, no, he's just says, cut it out. It's through. Carrying on in the unrestrained behavior. Evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, lawless idolatry. That is quite a list. And some of you say, well, I hadn't done a bunch of that stuff. Yeah, maybe not. Probably not. I will say this. I did a book on revivals in Arkansas back when I was a pastor in Arkansas. And I found one revival every 20 years from the Civil War on up. Just a work of God. And I came to one that was, I think it was in the 70s in Jonesboro, Arkansas, as I recall. And they were praying that revival would come to their community. And they started, and to the nation, and they started writing the sins of the nation on a blackboard. You know, we have adultery, we have profanity, we have this, this, and this. And they were praying for awakening in the nation, and then revival came to their church, and they realized that, I think they said, every one of those sins was in their church. There is just a lot of craziness out there, and the devil's doing his work. And it's being celebrated in television and movies and so forth. And without going into a whole lot of analysis here, this unrestrained behavior is just, I mean, sometimes it can be a good thing, like, I don't know, eating a Krispy Kreme donut. But if you eat 100 of them, that's a bad thing, you know? It's just, you just go wacky and do crazy stuff like this. Maybe 50 is okay. No, I'm just kidding about that. Now, you have evil desires. Well, that's just kind of all kinds of stuff. And by the way, we have a bigger catalog, I think, than they had. The same desires, like lust, you know, but they didn't have the internet. And they didn't have all this publishing world and so forth. And, I mean, they're just things now that are more available that you can even see them in the library or something. I mean, I'm sure they have certain kind of restrictions. But we are in a sea of temptation. And it's not just sexual temptation. I mean, it's temptation to be hateful, to be grumpy, to be slanderous, it's just a sea of this. And he says, they give into this. Drunkenness, that literally means, it's based on the word for wine. It means just you get liquored up. You got friends in low places and they're drinking. By the way, do you realize how many ads kind of make the highest thing that could happen is like a drinking party or a drunkenness? You know, I mean, I kind of reviewed the ads, like when such and such, then, you know, such and such gets its lime, or here's Bacardi stuff, and we're slugging away and work, you know, and we're doing this and that, and like, okay, now the purpose of life, let's get together, you know, and get snockered, you know, as my old friends in the Illinois National Guard used to say something about, we need to get some schnapps. I remember that was their big thing, to get some schnapps. But let's get liquored up, and that is the point to life, you know? And they were doing that. And then, in fact, later on, it talks about carousing. The word carousing actually has to do with drinking parties, because it uses the word that we use for, you ever heard the term potable water, P-O-T-A-B-L-E? Do you know what that is? Potable water, like in the field, is drinking water, as opposed to washing water or something like that. And it's like drinking stuff is the carousing. Orgies, that's unrestrained this and that. It's sexual stuff. It's drinking stuff. It's just running around crazy. Swapping spouses. You just fill it in. You think, well, you can't really talk about that. No, the Bible talks about that. And he says, don't kid yourselves. We are capable, and the world is capable of these crazy things. Even lawless idolatry, and they say, well, why is the word lawless in there? Because idolatry is lawless to start with. But they suggest that there are even some kinds of idolatries and worships which are so bad that even the authorities get concerned. I mean, every once in a while, and I don't know whether these are true, every once in a while I'll hear that somehow they'll find some cow ritually butchered in a field, and they'll say the Satanists were here or something like that. I wouldn't put it past the Satanists, you know? And so some of this stuff is so bad that even the Gentile authorities say, that ain't going to happen here. And so here's this stuff. That's what they do. Now, when you get saved, these are old friends, by the way. You know? By the way, you can extend this list right along. Let's just say that we're talking about public stuff right now, where you're doing it with people, doing bad stuff with people. Let's just say that you like to go to dog fights or cock fights and gamble. I stumbled on one of those cockfights in Bali, of all things. What's going on? What's all this? Man, pardon me for lingering, but, you know, they're parading the chickens around, the roosters around. They're just holding them up, and people are betting. They got little blades on their legs, and they're grabbing money, and they turn them, and they just butcher each other. Yay. I'm not so sure that's where we ought to be. I moved on quickly. Did not invest, have not been back. But even like with dogfighting or something like that, like, yeah, man, that used to be kind of cool, but I'm not doing that anymore. What about people just cussing like a sailor? Man, down at our workplace, this just turns a wall blue, you know? It's just cuss, 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 drop this, all kinds of nasty talk. I mean, there are places like that. I mean, I've been in Army formations where walking and they have Jody calls. You know, I don't know, but I've been told, and then ba 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 ba. And some of them just love it and they just say nasty things, and the rest of us little opies are just kind of, ooh, I don't think, but I'll keep walking here. People like to talk dirty. People like to steal signs in the World Series. You know, it's like, hey, everybody's doing it. That's what we do here. You know, we got this little electronic thing everybody's doing and stuff. And I'm understanding how a few of them are saying, I really didn't do that. I think they may have said about Altuve that maybe he didn't do it. But it's like, that's going around. You can just extend the list on and on of just the bad stuff that people do. And then Christians, I mean, they'll go clubbing to all kinds of clubs. They might go to just crazy clubs. I won't go into details here, but just bad places to be. And just, well, we'll go clubbing with the boys. Oh, we sealed this business deal. Let's all go out to this club and stuff. And then all of a sudden you're in a place where it's not nice. And he said, yeah, that's the way you did it. That's the way they roll here in society. Those are your old friends. But they're not your old friends now. They're not your friends now. They're your old friends. You got some new friends. And the friends are people, but the friends are things as well. You know? You remember old, he's on most high school dorm walls or something, the Al Pacino character says, say hello to my little friend. You know, he's got an AR-15 with an M203 underneath it, a grenade launcher under an M16 sort of, my little friend. If not that I ever saw that, but if I had, I might have seen at the end it didn't turn out so well for Al. And a lot of people say, this is my little friend. I like to club. I like to do this. I like to talk dirty. I like to go chasing skirts. I like to gossip until I can take the hide off somebody with my words. And now it's catching up with me. How's that going to work? It's not going to work so well. And so we start a new life. And we do it not in our own, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, little engine that could weigh, but we do it because the Spirit of God comes on us. And we develop different appetites. And so he says, they're surprised that you don't plunge in with them into the same flood of wild living, and they slander you. They don't say, you know, I felt uncomfortable about this life, and I so admire you and envy you. I wish that I could just join you in staying home and watching Mike Huckabee. No, I'm kidding. It's an old college friend, you know, but a Christian program, or just having a Bible study or a little discussion about William Wilberforce or about John Newton or whatever, or singing in Christ Alone. They're not thinking that. They think, what's with you? And look at all the words. You're Victorian, you're prudish, you're Puritan, you're a legalist, you're a Bible thumper, you know, this bam, bam, bam. They just hack on you. I was listening to, I got to speak over at Rich Stratton's wife's class at Cedarville the other day, and a theater class, and I was going through my old stomping ground, Indianapolis, got the Indianapolis Star, and I discovered that Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses, is from Lafayette, up by Purdue. And he hacks on Indiana all the time. Now, you guys may hack on Indiana, too. I know they're right across the river here, but I live there, and I thought it was a pretty good place to live. And he is hacking on Indiana. Well, he was, I think, picked up 5 times by the police, and some teachers were down on him, and this and that happened. So he broke free, and he went out, and I tried to get some lyrics that I could repeat from Axl Rose, from Guns N' Roses, to show. But basically, he's a nasty piece of work. I mean, really, in a lot of ways. And I'm going to do the first verse of Welcome to the Jungle. And then I'm going to stop real quick. Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. We got everything you want, honey. We know the names. We're the people that can find whatever you may need. If you got the money, honey, we got your disease. So that's a nice uplifting thing. And it goes down from there throughout his corpus. So his take on Indiana is this. Let me just read a little bit of what he says about Indiana. He talks about bad memories of the law enforcement and so forth, but he said, unleash the following. I grew up in this state for two-thirds of my life, and it seems to me there are a lot of expletive scared old people in this state, and I got a lot of expletive cool prisoners here in Auschwitz. In other words, this audience. To live in Indiana in that culture is to live in Auschwitz, okay? And then later on he said, I am your rock and roll nightmare, and you're just going to sit on your something and watch me, born a Hoosier, grow larger than you can ever imagine or ever be able to stop. That's not to say I didn't appreciate your anger, hostility, and general ignorance. It shows me that my so-called rants are a much-needed missing place in our puzzle of society. You just come across this all the time. If you leave that behind and leave enabling it and approving it behind, then what will they do? They will slander you. And they will say, you are at fault. You are holier than thou. You are repellent. Now, if you think that if you can be a charming Christian, they'll like you, it ain't gonna happen. Some will. But if you are consistently honoring God's law and his will and so forth, then they're really not going to like you. They didn't like Jesus. He was a pretty good Christian, you know. And they're not going to like you. So there, I think today among maybe even some young pastors, there's this notion that the reason they're rejecting us is that we're not cool enough, that we're not smooth enough. And it's really a fool's errand to try to ingratiate yourself to the culture by being less awkwardly righteous. And so please understand, you got to have some new friends. When we were leading people to the Lord, actually, back in my Arkansas church, we had a little tract here, and it says, Welcome to God's Family. And you turn and you learn who your new friends are. And here is, they have a little birth certificate, God's Word. The Word of God. I mean, if you're living in a world of drugs and drunkenness and opioids, you know, they've got cute names. You know, you've got Molly's and you've got Mary Jane and you just name it. They got funny little names, but they're not funny things. But we have the Word of God. We have the Bible. Prayer. That's a friend. There's no friend like the lowly Jesus, and he offers us prayer. You've got the church. You've got each other. That's a great friend. And the chance even to witness. Just the joy of representing Christ. Now you think, okay, so I'm clubbing, and I'm driving fast, you know, and with the good old boys and shooting up the town and all this kind of stuff, but now I'm going to be Mr. Pious, and I'm just going to sit here, and I'm going to read the Bible and pray and go to church, and boy, if I can just hang on to this dull life, then I might make it to heaven. Folks, it isn't dull. It's amazing what he gives us. I was at Lola's Cafe in Cedarville, Ohio the other day. They took me out to eat after class. Polo Mazatlan, shrimp, cheese, chicken. God said, you may have this. But Lord, it's not the Bible and prayer. No, I mean, I'm here to give you life abundantly. You can eat Mexican. It's good. You can have a Krispy Kreme. You can walk along the Ohio River and read plaques and enjoy the beauty of a mighty river, a historic river. You can read books. You can play sports. You can watch sports. You can cheer for sports. You can have families. You can work in the Christian community outreach. I saw a video of these folks the other day. Who in the world was there? It was Oh my goodness, it was Miss Patton, you were there, and Miss Vukovic was there, and Miss Cheney, was that right? In that video, these poor tortured souls were helping people have food. It's like, you have to give up fun. Now you have new friends. Thoughtful people handing food to needy people. Brr, I hate this. All right, I'm going to do it. But do I get to go to heaven? Yes, you get to go to heaven. Keep handing out the food. That's not what it is. It's an abundant life. It's a joyful life. And the world will tell you, if you go Christian, if you go according to God's will, if you're not a liar, if you're not adulterous, if you're not someone who blows off church, if you're not this and this and this, your life will be pinched. But in fact, it opens wide up. That's where the joy comes. John Newton, Amazing Grace, slave trader, just a miserable wretch. He sang, he said, save a wretch like me. And then he gets saved, doesn't miss the slave trade, writing hymns about Amazing Grace. Do you know that change? Is it the sort of change that'll stand up in the rain and the torment? Well, then there's no greater joy than to be in the family of faith. Another friend song. I get by with a little help from my friends, to quote Lennon or McCartney. What, I get high with a little help from my friends. Old life. We don't just get by with a little help from our friends. We prosper. We flourish with a lot of help from glorious supernatural friends. That makes up our new friendship circle. God, help us to shake off the old, to be willing to fight, to be willing to stand. Now, I'll say this. There's a little passage at the end. Let's flip to that where he says, these guys who've been dissing you, they'll give an account. But God will judge. He's going to sort it all out. For this reason, the gospel is preached to those who are now dead, so they might be judged by men. In other words, you may be judged by men big time, just as those guys who were martyred were. But they're going to live in the spiritual realm. They don't think they blew it. They got it. As my son, my preacher says, those who are beheaded, they get their heads put back on. And so he saves the living now and those who have gone before because of the preaching of the gospel. Well, God, help us to have new friends and not cling with the old friends of the world. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. Is it Jesus Paid It All? We're getting serious here. Rich led us. I was speaking at Cedarville, and Rich led us in prayer meeting the other night to pray that a certain number of people would be saved in the month of March, as I recall. I heard the details, that there would be a specific thing. We're praying now that, as they say, the baptismal waters would be stirred. You know, the Marines say, we're looking for a few good men. We're kind of looking for a few not-so-good men and women who'll admit it and who'll throw themselves on the mercies of Christ who suffered for them on the cross. So if you think that we can strut into church, we can. The only way you can come into the church is through good grief, having good grief over your sins. And so you may not be much now. You may not be the pick of a recruiter, but that's not the heavenly recruiter. He says, I want to see broken people. I'm saving wretches. So if you feel that you're wretched or perhaps that you're a flower that wouldn't stand up in the rain, why don't you this very day say, I am now going to make a new start with a new friend, Jesus. We'll sing Jesus Paid It All. Okay, I'll be down here to pray with you and talk with you. You come as we sing.
Stand and sing together.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. And Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Let's sing the last verse.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you. We had a bit of an invitation last week, and someone says, "No, I think it was okay." You know, we don't get emotional and this and that. I think, hey, if you realize you need to be broken before the Lord, if you realize that. He's doing a work in you. I don't know how you cannot be emotional. So I ain't afraid. God, give us emotion. I look at these bluegrass guys with the Grand Ole Opry, Bill Monroe, and this bigger head, and they go, they're just playing crazy. Just, how do they do that? I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about this. I mean, it's just so exciting to be in the Lord. A few things very quickly. Tonight we start in Genesis 1. It's amazing what's in Genesis 1. And we're just going to track through the first 36, 37 chapters of Genesis, one a night. They started with 37, I think, with Joseph. We're going to start back with, in the beginning, we're going to start with, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim vehet ha'aretz. That's the Hebrew version. I think it's the only verse I memorized in Hebrew, but there you go. I actually am going to preach in Hebrew tonight, so bring your Jewish friends. No, we're not going to do that. But bring them anyway. And then for biographies, we're kind of do men, women, and I have a couple of remarkable women I'm going to talk about at prayer meeting who were heroines of the French Reformation in the day with the Huguenots and the St. Bartholomew Day Massacre and things like this. And we will be praying as well. I understand they've had a program here called Who's Your One? Having lived in Indiana, I like the sound of that, Who's Your One? But who's your one? Okay. And some of you have had in mind people that you want to see saved. As I understand, that's how it goes. And some of you have been praying for these people and the like. And I have to tell you, I'm getting kind of rusty or soggy about not being out witnessing in the way that I did as a pastor and so forth. So here's the deal. If you would like me, and this doesn't scare you to death, if you would like me or Sharon and me to go to talk with someone, to go to their home, to have lunch with them, to accompany you with this person, to this person, we would love to do that. And so we're just available. You call, and I'm here pretty much like Sunday through Wednesday. So it could be daytime, it could be nighttime, whatever. Think about that. Just bring us in, and we'd love to do that. That just gives us great joy. I had a guy in my church when I was in Arkansas named Shadrach Medlin. Shad Medlin. Isn't that great? Shadrach. And Shad would just pick me up and say, there's someone dying in the home, and I was reading James, and we need to go take some oil and go anoint her and confess sins. And I thought, is that legal? Baptist? But it seemed like it was in James, so I went down to Kroger's and got some 100% pure virgin olive oil. I figure that's the one you're supposed to use. And we went over, and we had the Lord's Supper, and I confessed sins, and she confessed sins, and then he'd turn around another time and say, I got another friend who needs to know the Lord. Come with me. And we go to his house in the middle of the day, and we talk to him. I love that. So just think about it. I'm here, you know. Let's see people saved. Amen. By God's power, presenting the gospel. All right. Let me close in prayer here. Dear God, thank you so much for Peter just bringing it, talking plain, talking about the old life that'll just wreck us, talking about the new life that'll give us joy, that'll give us life. Jesus, thank you for showing us that being tried in the fire is part of it. And let us rejoice with you as we stand for the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.